Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, August the 31st, 2018, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 102, the last paragraph. Many of us keep liquor in our homes, through two paragraphs ending with "by one who hates it" and commenting on both. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Shauna O, 12 Traditions, Wendy M, and readers of the text, Jordan L and Julie E.B. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, August the 30th, 10 a.m. meeting, 11856, and Friday, August the 31st, the 7 a.m. meeting, 11859. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shauna O to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Shauna O, a recovering compulsive eater in Washington State, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Shauna O. And Wendy M. will now read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name I've never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Wendy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 102, the last paragraph, many of us keep liquor in our homes, through two paragraphs ending with, by one who hates it, and commenting on both. And Jordan L., could you please read for us, please?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me, Lynn?
Yes, thank you.
Good morning, guys. Lynn, thank you for your service. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And this is a Big Book. So many of us keep liquor in our homes. We often need it to carry green recruits through a severe hangover. Some of us still serve it to our friends, provided they are not alcoholic. But some of us think we should not serve liquor to anyone. We never argue this question. We feel that each family, in the light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every new alcoholic looks for the spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. A spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved had it not been for such stupidity. We would not even do the cause of temperate drinking any good. For not one drinker in 1,000 likes to be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. So I live with someone who is not who eats normally, however you want to phrase that. So there's all kinds of stuff in our house that I don't eat, that is not on my food plan, that are not abstinent foods for me, would be considered my alcoholic foods. And that thought rarely occurs to me these days, but they're even in my home. I don't really notice anymore. Which is not the case when I came in here. I just want to say that real quick. But we talk a lot about neutrality on that this line, and that's good because it gives something that the newcomer to look forward to. But it's also something that takes time. You know, like I've been compulsively overeating for a really long time now, and distorting this real basic instruction I have for consuming food for life. so it took me time to feel this way about food, to experience this neutrality. And as far as serving it to people, I mean, I don't know. We don't host very many parties or anything at our house, so I guess I wouldn't know much about it. But I do know a lot about never arguing in the kitchen, and never showing intolerance or hatred of not only drinking or sugar or flour or processed foods or whatever you want to call it as an institution. Although that is not my food these days, and I don't, I mean, I have lots of opinions on processed food and what it's doing to this country. It's something that I keep out of my OA program. I keep out of my OA life. I would never use that to argue with, like for instance, argue with a newcomer for, say, what their food plan should be. This is a very personal journey that comes down to a relationship between you and a higher power. And as far as I can tell, arguing this question or showing any sort of intolerance of processed food as an institution would not be would not serve anyone. It would not be it would not be a way for me to be of service to anyone. So why would I argue it, you know? Unless you're talking to someone who wants to have a conversation about it, then you have a normal conversation about it just like you would anything else, right? But this the spirit of intolerance, it really
Time, please.
I can't. Okay, I'll wrap it up. I can't have it about anything these days. And I certainly can't express it. So I guess that's it.
Thank you, Jordan L. The line is now open. If you would like to share on what was read, please say your name just once as it helps me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
Wendy S.
I heard somebody S.
Sunny S.
Sunny S?
Correct, yes. Sunny like the sun.
Okay, I've got Wendy M, Sunny S. Who would like to share?
Robin Joby.
Mariana D.
Fran S.
Julie E.B.
Okay, just before Julie, was that Fran S?
Yes, it was.
Fran S. Okay, great. All right, here's our lineup so far. Wendy M., Sunny S., Robin Joel B., Mariana D., Fran S., and Julie E.B. Wendy M., could you get us started, please?
Of course. Hi, good morning. Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Lynn S., for your service. Everybody on the line and for entire abstinence this morning. So there's so much in here that I love. We never show intolerance. Well, I was all about intolerance. If you're different than me, I'm right, you're wrong. I have a superior attitude, or I'm less than and you're something, you know. And that intolerance attitude led me to have many prejudices. And, you know, even in this program, when I first was working with Vision for You, Big Book Study, I would go to these face-to-face meetings, and if they weren't working the book the way I did, they weren't going to get to God. There was only one way to do it, you know. And I had that feeling, that opinion, because I was scared I wasn't doing it right or I wasn't going to get it. So I had to be right, and they had to be wrong. And that's just how I rolled, you know. And today it's not that way. And the freedom I have is that I get to see my intolerance today. It doesn't mean that I'm not intolerant or prejudiced, but I get to begin to see it, right? Because the miracles are change in perception, our change of thinking. But the piece that I absolutely adore is, not one drinker in 1,000 likes to be told anything about alcohol. I don't want you to tell me anything about me, right? So don't comment on my body size. Don't comment on my food choices. Don't comment on anything about me, right? Like I'm going through a divorce. I have a boyfriend. Things are happening in my life. Do not comment. You don't get to comment on any of it. And I remember when I was younger and in the food, of course, people would comment on my body size, and I was just like mortified, right? So I get to comment about you, but you don't get to comment about me because you know I'm a sensitive person, right? I'm deeply defensive. And the other piece of the dishonesty is they might be right, and I just don't want to hear it. I do not want to be commented on. And even to this day, I'll go to a party, bring my food, and people will say, what's that? Why are you eating that? And it's a perfectly legitimate question, right? But my go-to is like, why are you coming? Don't comment on it. Don't comment on it. But I bring the food, God's laughing. Like, of course. And you never know, too, because you might be dropping a seed for somebody who has this disease. So I just love that. Don't tell me what to do. And then finally, what I really see in this passage is stay in my swim lane. Don't comment or tell my sponsees what to do, right? Your life is not my business. At all. I get to stay in my swim lane. I get to recover. That's all I have to do is recover, 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 and take care of self. And when I'm doing that, I'm deeply connected to my higher power, which means I have love flowing through me at all times. And my job is just to love you. That's all my job is. I don't have to comment. I don't have to be a witch burner. I don't have to tell you how it goes. And in fact, it never works if I tell you, what you should be eating and what you should be doing. That has to come from within, right? You need to tap into your connection with your higher power. And if I take away your adult card, right, if I take away that adult card and do it for you and tell you how it should go, that's never going to be a good option for either of us, So, love this passage. Thanks so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Wendy M. Sunny S., it's your turn, followed by Robin Joe B.
Hi, this is Sunny S. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. So this is Sunny S. I'm recovered in Colorado. I really like the sentence, we're careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution, because what came up for me is that and this is really like a measuring tool for how spiritually fit I am. I've been abstinent for about 2 years now, and, it goes back. My recovery is consistent so long as I stay in spiritual condition. And so what this says, I'm sometimes with friends in a restaurant, and I have to bring my own food because they really don't have any options that I can eat. And the mirror, the transparency that I'll have in order to just experience the moment as it is, instead of focusing on judgment or blame or shame or shame on me. That's all about me. So it's really a cue if I am in that mentality to go back into connecting. It does say it's a spirit of intolerance. So in that sense, I definitely connected to spirituality for me. And then how I relate it to my most recent event, my friend was going through something really bad last night, and we had to, take her to a psych ward. And one of the things that she wanted before going in was pizza. And so how much in a position of service I was yesterday, where I could just sit in the park with her, and, we bought her pizza, and all her friends sat next to her, and they all ate pizza too, and I was just there as a service to support my friends, and it was not about the food at all anymore, and that was a miracle. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sunny S. Rob and Joe B., it's your turn, followed by Mariana D.
Hi, thank you. This is Robin Joe B. I'm in Missouri, recovered, and by God's grace and for His glory, and I don't share very often. I'm really nervous about it. I've been here for a couple of years, and I do finally have the neutrality and can go anywhere. Before this, I was in another food program for 5 years, and I had complete abstinence, weighed and measured everything, but I was so restless, irritable, and discontent. I was absolutely white-knuckling it, and very proud of my days, and that's what was keeping me abstinent. And the meetings that we went to, there was no mention of food. You couldn't even say something like, you know, I don't know, like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Oh my gosh, you know, that somebody would chime in and say, we can't mention food, you know, because they're just so afraid that it's going to make somebody go out and, you know, buy a whole sheet cake and eat it or something. And that's how I lived for 5 years, and I thought that was right. And that's how I was too. I didn't want to hear anybody mention anything. I didn't want to see a commercial. And I remember there was that new show, it was called Cake Boss, and my husband kind of liked to watch it. And I would just get mad. I'd have to go lock myself in the bedroom and pout, because just to watch people having that much fun with food just really made me mad. And now a year ago I went on a mission trip clear around the world. I went to Indonesia, and I was in all of these fancy airports and all this fancy food, and I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think, when I said I was going to go on the trip, it didn't even concern me. If I would have been in my other program, I wouldn't have even been able to say that I was going to, because how in the world would I be able to keep my abstinence, you know? But I just love that vision, and not so much vision, but the way we do this, run this meeting, and because this is my home meeting, and then the way, you know, OA, just it's different, and I have that neutrality, and there are days that I got to be honest and say, there are days that I'm white-knuckling or feeling bad, but, you know, that just reminds me, okay, that's just my disease saying, you know what, you need a little bit more God, and so dig in there, and my God is always right there, always, he's always with me, and I'm always thankful for the reminder that I need to visit with him more, because I'm just very grateful for my eating disorders that have brought me closer to him, and with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin Joe B. Mariana D., it's your turn, followed by Fran S.
Hi, this is Mariana. I'm very happy to be here. So I'm thinking, it's interesting. It's just, you know, I think where you're at in life and what you're experiencing. And I remember, you know, at my daughter's elementary school, I was the cupcake mom, and I had a little chant with the kids, you know, remember kids, it's all about, and they'd say the cupcake. And, you know, it was, you know, that's how I was known, and I loved it for some reason. And then I got into recovery, and it's interesting because when I go to events, I have a salad, and my friends call it the Mariana salad because it's a green salad, and it's, you know, it looks pretty, and it's really yummy and nutritious, and I bring that everywhere now, so that's kind of my staple. And then we have a community dinner once a week in town, in my new hometown, and, you know, I was told, you know, we always could use desserts. So I started bringing desserts. I would just buy it at the store, and then I thought, you know what, I can bring fruit, because if there's, you know, 500 to 700 people that go to this community dinner, there have to be some people who have diabetes or would rather have fruit than a dessert or for dessert. So I just started bringing that. And it's not that I'm judging, like, you shouldn't be eating sugar or whatever, but it's just an option. So I just bring food for it to be an option for people. If they would like that, they could choose it. If not, they can choose whatever they want. But I really find that you hardly ever see too many healthy options. You're always going to see dessert. You're always going to see starchy salads. But, you know, I'll just bring a healthy option for whoever wants it. And so I kind of enjoy doing that now, so that's what I do. I wanted to do a little comment on yesterday's reading as well. I so enjoyed hearing that. I have a wedding I'm going to this coming weekend, and I was kind of in my head about how I was going to look and finding a dress. And when I listened to the meeting yesterday and I heard about showing up, looking for other people who, you know, might be in need of just, you know, going up to them and having a conversation if they look awkward or whatever, it's like getting out of your head. That is so huge, and I so needed to hear that. And the wedding I'm going to is my godson's wedding, and my friend passed 3 years ago, and that was his mother, and he asked me to do the mother-son dance with him, and that is, like, the hugest honor. I can't even tell you. And so I just want to focus on that, that huge gift that I'm a part of that, which I still can't believe, and what my friend would have done to have been there that day herself. So, you know, in this program, we get to show up. We get to feel the feelings, and we get to eat good food, because if I eat good food, I'm not thinking of the crappy food. And we get to just experience life on a very different level. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mariana D. Fran S., it's your turn, followed by Julie E.B.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me share. You know, I'm listening, I keep saying, you know, thinking, wow, how, you know, how many different ways can you talk about being tolerant? And obviously there's so many different ways to hear, you know, with experiences of so many people that have gone before me to really get an understanding of what tolerance means and what tolerance looks like and what, you know, how I could use it in my life. Someone at the 7 o'clock meeting said, you know, I'm not a doctor, and I can't beginning and telling people a food plan. And I, you know, I sort of believe, not sort, I do believe the same thing. I'm a compulsive overeater through and through. You know, I've struggled with my food my whole life. Like, who am I? I have no qualification whatsoever to tell someone how and what to eat. So with that, I always say there's enough qualified people out there that people can turn to get the expert opinion on that. I don't know when people feel that they are experts on you know, giving other people their food plan. I need to be tolerant of that, you know. But I was thinking, you know, how, what can I say about being tolerant? You know, besides, you know, being tolerant of people's sicknesses and diseases, you know, beliefs. I need to be tolerant not only of the people in the room and how they want to work their program, because as you know, there's many different ways to approach the road to recovery. It says it in the big book. You don't necessarily have to go this route. But I'm so gung-ho on this being the route. I want to, you know, knock that over people's heads in the most, you know, bullish way. And that's where I need to be tolerant. And not only with people in the rooms, but also people in my life. Because now, oh, wow, you know, Fran is finally on, you know, on the right path. And I want and need to stay on the spiritual being and follow the spiritual path. Now I want everybody else to in my family. And that's not the case. And that's where the sick man's prayer comes in. And that's where I turn and lean into my God, my higher power to say, they're sick people. And maybe they might not be sick people. They might just have different opinions. And that's where my tolerance has to come in. Because when I experience that lack of tolerance, that's when I start getting restless, irritable, and discontent. You know, why won't they do it my way? You know, and the resentment builds, and everybody knows. Your steps start to go backwards, you know, and eventually you're back in, you know, eventually I am back in the food, because that's where, you know, that's always been my MO. But for today, I need to focus on the tolerance with our own members and especially
Fine,
the people
please.
All around me. Thank you very much for allowing me to share. Have a great day. Bye.
And thank you, Fran S. Julie E.D., it's your turn.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, one day at a time in Colorado. When I think of this, I think of the fact that when I was in the food, I had no tolerance for life. I had no tolerance for instruction. I had no tolerance for guidance. I had no tolerance for my higher power telling me that I was okay, that I was just a growing, unfolding part of this creation. I had no tolerance for anything. I was barely scraping by, trying to make life tolerable. And so when I hear these different ways of handling food in the home, when I hear these different ways of accepting, I just think of how grateful I am to my sponsor, who just started me with a basic abstinence and got into the book with me and let my higher power continue showing me different foods, different behaviors, different ways that my food plan, which doesn't look like everybody else's food plan, might evolve. And she said profound things like, way to go, great insight. This is what came across as we read the book together. I like that, she would say, as I heard these words. How does it connect with you? And that's how I got through this book, and that's how I got through this step, with love and tolerance. And it changed my life. And so I think it's really important to understand that for the newcomer who's listening, for the newcomer who might call me or I might call, we might learn so much from them. After all, these folks had worked and had this book they were publishing and still dared to say, we don't argue. We don't try to be right. We try and listen and learn. I love the humility of spirit and the love that pours out from this position of tolerance. What if someone else's idea is just fine? How can I love them where they are today? And I am still working on that. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Just a reminder, if you got on the line a little late, we are on page 102, the last paragraph, Many of Us Keep Liquor at Our Home, reading through two paragraphs, ending with, By One Who Hates It, and commenting on both. And the line is now open if you'd like to share, and please say your name just once as it helps me hear you. Who would like to share?
Deborah S.
Anyone else?
Sari KB.
Joanne B.
Jennifer H.
Jody EQ.
Okay, let me read you our lineup. We'll see if I missed anybody. Devorah S. Sherry K.B., Joanne B., Jennifer H., and Jody E.Q. Was there anyone else? Okay, Devorah S., can you start us off, please?
Thank you so much, moderator. I recognize the voice, but I can't get the name, so can you help me with that? Who is this? Who's moderator?
Lynn S.
Lynn. Thank you so much, and everyone on the line that makes this meeting possible. I'm Deborah S. from New Jersey, a recovered compulsive overeater, and many of us keep liquor in our homes, and so many of us keep food in our homes, and, you know, that's me. But I have to honestly say that for many years in the disease, I kept it in the house, but it was hidden where only I knew where it was. And because I was afraid for everyone else to eat it, because I didn't want them to be like me. I, you know, so I hid it from my children. I gave them healthy snacks to eat. And I would say, as I'm eating and binging, let's say, on a box of macaroni, or I would say to them, do you want to be like me? Do you want to turn out like me? You know, and I would give them these messages of, you don't want to eat like I eat, so I'm going to not give it to you. And what happened is that, you know, you keep things away from kids, they end up looking for it anyway. They get it outside. There's always this is a very big, wide world. There's plenty of places where you can find it. And so really, my trying to control the situation never helped it. So today, you know, I do have it in my house. I do have other children in my home. And it's okay. I'm not trying to control the situation. And the big thing is today is that I'm not even, I keep my mouth shut. I don't say, do you want to look like me? But today I am in a thin body. And, you know, my actions speak louder. You know, what I do speak louder. And, you know, they see, you know, that what I do, you know, it works for me. And it may not work for everyone, but that's okay. And you know, this tolerance, you know, we're taught in this program that, you know, we need to be tolerant of, you know, people around us who are drinking, who are eating. And it extends to outside, you know, into the big world, you know, being, you know, tolerant of people, being tolerant of the woman who's in line in front of me at the grocery store in the fast lane, where she's supposed to only have 10 items and she has a full shopping cart, you know. Bless her, change me, you know. Tolerance of the person who cuts me off in traffic, you know, tolerance. You know, all these things, you know, it just, you know, it starts with being tolerant of our fellows and extends into a big world out there. And that's this is something that I need to practice on each and every single day of how I'm working my program, you know, with patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. This is, you know, giving it away and helping other people and being of service, that is, you know, that is the root here. That is what our purpose is here. And we have to apply all these principles in all areas of our, you know, what we learn in this program and from this book into what we do each day. So I have a roadmap over here. You know, this book is like my map, my GP, whatever, my GPS, right? My way of how I get places. because otherwise I'd be lost, and I was lost for many, many years. But today, you know, I have a guide over here with God's help that really can get me to the places where I need to be, even in the places where I'm not supposed to be, but I know that's where I'm supposed to be at that time. Anyway, thank you so much, Lynette, and everyone on the line, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Devorah S. Sherry KB, it's your turn, followed by Joanne B.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Lynn, and everybody on the line. And welcome any newcomers. I really like these paragraphs because it reminds me of Tradition 11, where it says, you know, our public relations policies is based on attraction rather than promotion. And so I think this is where the beginning of the birth of the Tradition 11 came from, because, you know, it is about attraction. And so if I'm trying to shove something down your throat, it's not going to go very, very well. And I know that myself, I don't, you know, my disease, I don't like being told what to do. I really don't like it. So what makes me think it's okay for me to tell other people what to do? That's what I think about. And this reminds me of peeling of an artichoke, because, you know, little by little through the years, you know, I had been one of those witch burners myself. It's interesting how I don't like being told what to do, but I don't mind telling you what to do. And that's part of my disease, I think. But I've learned to back away. You know, I hear people in meetings trying to convince other people this is the only way, and, you know, it's not. It is the only way for me. And I can say that. And I think it's really walking the walk rather than talking the talk. And it's about just being demonstrating in my life and how I am with people and what I do. And, you know, my loved one eats the complete opposite way than I do. I eat vegetables, fruits, protein, you know, all of that. And some dairy products. And he's like a junk eater, and he brings home stuff all the time. And I don't say a word, you know, because I just think it, if I demonstrate, it's better that way. And that also goes for my program, too. And that also goes for when I go to face-to-face meetings and I want to carry a message of depth and weight and strength and hope, and lead patience and tolerance is my code. So when I see other people not doing the meeting the way I think it ought to be done, I just pray a lot. I keep my mouth shut. I don't try to act like holier than thou and preach from my spiritual rooftop. I don't do that. And as far as I've had some sponsors in the past that have sent me out of the rooms of different 12-step food programs due to their behavior towards, you know, their reactions and how I should do it. And I never want to be one of those people. So that's why I also say, too, I am not your food police. I ask them to take it to their higher power and let them decide that, you know, it's up to them and their higher power for them to come up with a plan. I do ask them to remove, to list their alcoholic foods and behaviors, but, you know, I let them and their higher power decide, and that goes with a lot of things in my life, and that's a good lesson for me in all areas of my life. Thank you, that I pass.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Joanne B., it's your turn, followed by Jennifer H.
Hello, this is Joanne B. from Texas. I'm recovered compulsive overeater. There's been many times that I would, before I came into the program, I would get involved in that, the idea of making food behave, but not just for me, it had to behave for everybody. And it's been interesting to see that as I walk this journey and I'm, new things are revealed to me every day and I'm learning what recovery means more and more, you know, what it means for me more and more, and where my higher power shows me more things. It's neat to see that my tolerance has become more in tune with my higher power in being patient, loving, and kind to those around me who are doing things differently. And I appreciate what the person said before me about the meetings and how, you know, behavior, even taking this idea into how we behave in a meeting, because I know I still have trouble where I'll fall back into that wanting things my way attitude. And I may not say anything, but as a fellow has helped me realize, I may not have to say anything for that to kind of ooze out of my body, you know, through body language or whatever, you know, how I respond. And so that was, I appreciate what she had said. What's interesting to me also is we are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. And I was thinking, what does that mean as an institution? And just basically, I looked it up. It just means as a practice or a habit, a custom. And so while I'm listening to my fellows, I'm asking, you know, am I showing my intolerance as an institution? And also, this intolerance is a form of hatred of those foods, maybe even more than that. But so that's what's kind of an interesting thought that came to my mind. Anyway, we share a meal every week with a church family, and it can be really interesting. And if I'm not careful, I do have a judgment that goes through my head. And I'm so grateful for this program and my fellows because they're helping me to learn a better way of thinking that is tolerant and loving, that is being that example. And and I'm noticing other people in my fellowship are starting to look at better ways to eat, and I think that's kind of cool. Anyway, with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joanne B. Jennifer H., it's your turn, followed by Jody EQ.
Hi, it's Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in Alabama,
And thanks for chairing. And I wanted to say I'm really grateful for the chairperson timing. That's really helped me so much when you let me know when it's time to hush. So I really appreciate that tradition in this group, and it's really helping me. And this paragraph's really helping me. I've had a lot of trepidation about, how do I carry the message? And this first paragraph seems to be, talking about within the family, in my home, and, each family in the light of their own circumstances ought to decide for themselves, and also in my own local area, because I remember one time hearing in a vision meeting that, part of the deal is, or maybe it was a special edition or something, that once I become abstinent and everything in here, it's part of the deal to go to local meetings and be a part of it and share everything. And I've got this deal where I'm real influenced by what's around me, I don't want to have an attitude of intolerance if somebody has a different idea about it, because it's so confusing to me. I mean, this is the most cunning and baffling part of my life, of course, is how to act around food and what to do. This is my whole disease. So having some clear guidelines here about what I would do, and I have to get very, not confident, but somehow I have to have that in me and know where to go and the information to get, so that if I go out into the world or if I'm faced with something that's real hard for me, I know what to hold on to. And so this one is really helping me. Not to show what to do. I don't show intolerance or hatred. If I disagree with something somebody's sharing, and this attitude will not be helpful to anyone. And this second paragraph uses the word stupidity, which I remember ever seeing that in the big book. So it seems like pretty strong language to help realize what would be completely, ludicrous to try to do. I have, I've had a lot in my immediate family, and it's just totally a mess. That in the light of your own circumstances, decide for yourselves as a family. It kind of seems to be describing some common sense. And I remember, I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but I had, of course, like attracts like. So I had a spouse who was very sick in our disease. I was very sick in our disease. And then we had a baby. Now, figuring out how to feed that baby, it was crazy town. And I remember the lactation nurse, when he was really little, said, "Well, just use your common sense." And that's when I had to realize, looking back, I realized we didn't have any. We didn't have any common sense about how to feed another person and what to do for ourselves even. It was so lost, now I have, thanks to the clear message, I know how to let the blocks be removed so that I can have an intuitive connection and some kind of a sense of what to do that will be, be how to act around all this stuff. When there's
time,
when it feels like disease around me and I'm, not sure what to do. So I'm really grateful to you guys for being here and having this clear message, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jennifer H. And Jody EQ will be our last person to share today. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, everybody. This is Jody EQ. I'm in North San Juan, California today. So this is a great reminder for me, because I have been intolerant of eating as an institution, especially when that eating was obviously unhealthy. So a spirit of intolerance might repel compulsive overeaters whose lives could have been saved had it not been for such intolerance, such stupidity. I need to remember that, because I can get resentful towards eating as an institution, as a business. So this is a great reminder. I want to be an attraction to healthy eating and to recovery, not promotion. Attraction, not promotion. Promotion doesn't work. And especially intolerance and hatred does not work ever in any area of my life. There's a lot of intolerance in the world, a lot of intolerance, and we can obviously see that it's not helping anything. So thank you, Big Book, for yet another very wise, profound message for me. I need it. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody Q. And thank you to everyone who shared, and to Team Friday, Shauna O, Wendy M, Jordan L, and Julie E.B. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.